And the recommendation of staff is to approve the charter.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're going to defer this, and we're lucky enough to have the governor of Washington, Jay Inslee, here to be with us. So I want to recognize both Member Rockefeller and Member Carrier to bring the governor forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My colleague Tom has a short story to share, and then I'll complete the introduction.
Okay, well, thanks, Bill. I just wanted to mention a story about our trips to Washington, D.C., and as everyone may know, that the council frequently goes to D.C. to report to the Northwest delegation about our power plans and fish and wildlife programs. There was always one office that I would leave with a stack of notes of new ideas for energy efficiency or renewables or questions that I had to take back to our technical staff to try to get answers for, because I could not answer them. And that office, of course, was from then Congressman Jay Inslee, who's a nationally recognized expert in this area on clean energy. And Phil will finish the introduction.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and colleagues. It's a high honor and a distinct privilege to introduce our Washington State Governor, Jay Inslee. Tom's story recalls to mind the prominent place that the governor's book called Apollo's Fire has enjoyed in his congressional office in D.C. when he was a member of Congress, and I suspect as well probably in the governor's office since he became our governor last January. Apollo's book, Apollo's Fire, always had a prominent place in any photos or any TV interviews or media appearances, and it's probably on Facebook as well. But it wouldn't surprise me if he brought a copy with him today. And the fact is that it's one of the keys to understanding the governor's focus upon and highly energetic, if you'll pardon the pun, highly energetic commitment to clean energy, energy efficiency, renewables, greenhouse gas reductions, and to what he would tell you is the moral imperative that we address climate change issues as well in our time. These are things of which he spoke eloquently, not only in his book or during last year's campaign, but as well in his State of the State message in January. And since then, he is nothing if not consistent on this matter. And after 6 months in office, the governor is now a veteran of a 105-day regular session and two special sessions, which ended just short of the end of our fiscal year, June 30th, just in time to have an operating budget and a capital budget and a transportation budget for the new biennium that started July 1st of this year. So he is now a veteran of Olympia as well as D.C., and we are delighted to have him here today, and I take great pleasure in introducing him to the council and welcome you, Governor Inslee.
Thank you. Thanks, friends. Thank you, Tom and Phil and members. Phil, thanks for alluding to the little book I co-authored. Thanks to your help, it rocketed to the top 10,000 list, I think. We'll have to check on how it's doing. This is really an exciting group to get to address, and I appreciate your vision of this group. I know that when you announced the sixth power plan, a lot of people thought, well, they're just a little too ambitious. And it turns out you were right. Your aggressive five-year targets were impressive, and because of them, you met 500 megawatts of energy efficiency. And I think you ought to be proud of that. That was a really Herculean achievement, and it started with a vision. You know, the good book says that without a vision, the people shall perish. Well, you provided the vision, and the region came through. But you provided the vision first. That efficiency was enough to power 300,000 homes. You think about that, all using megawatts. Amory Lovin's term of energy efficiency, all powered by megawatts. And that's because of your leadership. And I want to thank you all individually for that and as a group. And with 30 major hydropower projects, coupled with Washington being one of the top 10 wind states, nearly one-fifth of all of the renewable electricity produced in the United States come from Washington State, as well as that efficiency. We produce more renewable energy than any other state. We know that we have good partners in the region as well. But we can't stop there with what we've done. We know we've got a lot more work to do. We recently finalized our latest inventory of greenhouse gas emissions for our state in Washington, where we compared our emissions from 1990 to 2010. Over that period, our emissions increased 4%. The contribution from some sectors, such as industrial processes, was down. Some sources, such as agriculture and building heating, were mostly unchanged. For transportation, the sector with the largest share, the emissions spiked up 20% in 2007, then were pushed back by the recession to a net increase of 7% by 2010. Electricity has been a different pattern altogether and stood out amongst the sectors. From 90 to 2010, we saw a steady rise of a 22% higher emissions from our state's electrical usage. You know the cause better than most, obviously, because of your expertise. When the water in the river is up, we're one of the cleanest electrical systems in the country, relying on hydropower. When the water in the river is down, we buy coal power, and our emissions go up. Now, why is that important? It's important because of one of the biggest challenges we've ever faced while we've been around, and that's climate change and ocean acidification. A May 2013 journal article reported on a study of 4,000 scientific abstracts, peer-reviewed abstracts, published from 1991 to 2011. They found that 97% of the abstracts basically concluded that climate change is being caused in a significant part by human activity. 3% had a different opinion. I wish this was just an academic argument. It's not an argument. It's a scientific fact. And it's one we're living with today in my state. It's already affecting some of the key industries in my state. Our shellfish growers are moving some of their operations because of ocean acidification. As you know, the carbon's going out of our smokestacks, or the coal that generates our electricity, and it's ending up in Puget Sound where it's changing the pH and making it difficult for little baby oysters to grow. Our farmers in eastern Washington are seeing reduced water supplies due to reduced snowpack. We're spending more time each year fighting more intense forest fires. The potential costs of climate change to Washington families, businesses, and communities is projected to reach nearly $10 billion by 2020. When people talk about the costs of dealing with climate change, the costs of inaction, the cost of doing nothing, exceed $10 billion just for my one state. The cost and the most costly approach to climate change is to ignore it and let it swallow your major industries, which is going to happen if we do not act. So this is a big deal. It's a big deal to our grandkids. If we're going to have salmon and oysters and snowpack to ski at Snoqualmie Pass, whether that's going to happen, no small part is in your hands. This is a pretty powerful group of people, because the ability of our grandkids to enjoy my state in the Northwest can be rescued in significant part due to your individual and collective activity. And that's why I've come today to talk with you about the way forward. Now, I believe we can and will step up to this challenge. I believe it, one, because I'm an optimist, and two, I know that we are a can-do group of people in the Northwest. We solved a lot of technological and industrial challenges in the last several decades, and we've led the world in many, many technologies. And I believe we're going to do exactly that again in clean energy. The solutions are at hand, and we know what needs to be done, actually. It's the interesting thing about this challenge. We actually know what the tools are, and we know how to work them. Shrinking our dependence on imported energy and boosting homegrown clean energy will strengthen and expand our economy. Now, that's a strong statement. I want to say it again. It will strengthen and expand our economy. This is a growth-oriented vision that I ask you to continue, and you've taken the first step with your tremendous work on energy efficiency in your sixth plan. In fact, job creation rates in Washington's clean energy economy are well above the other sectors in the economy, and clean energy jobs pay better than the average. A 2011 report produced by our Employment Security Department identified 120,000 green jobs in my state, about 4.3% of total employment. Of those 120,000 jobs, one-third were primarily associated with increased energy efficiency, and 14% were in the production of renewable energy. Now, those jobs were there in part because of your vision, and I want to thank you for that and providing a vision that created those energy efficiency jobs. Looking ahead, a study conducted by the West Coast states concluded that with a continued strong focus on clean energy, jobs in these industries could see a 200% growth in the period from 2010 to 2020. I've seen the kind of innovation that is possible when we decide that we can defeat carbon pollution. In Seattle, we now have the most energy efficient commercial office building in the world, the Bullitt Center. It's a six-story building in downtown that is energy neutral, getting all the energy it needs from rooftop solar panels. And it's a beautiful building. I got to go to the dedication. It's a wonderful place to be. In May, I attended the opening of a zero-energy house built on the campus of Clover Park Technical College by students themselves, who themselves came up with a way to build a house with net zero energy. And they wanted to demonstrate it was both possible and that students can do it, and they did it. So we took a couple of good steps in the right direction during our state legislative session here in Washington. I just want to share with you as well. As part of my Working Washington Jobs Agenda, we established a Washington Clean Energy Fund. And we're going to invest $40 million in clean energy technologies that save energy and cut energy costs, reduce harmful air emissions, increase energy independence, and help create jobs in our state. This fund's going to help finance the use of proven energy efficiency and renewable energy technologies, including energy efficiency and solar installations on buildings, anaerobic digesters that treat dairy waste to produce electricity and renewable fuels, and combined heat and power projects that use woody biomass. The fund will help our electrical utilities, and I think this is going to be important in your work, develop and use new technologies that cut the cost of integrating renewable energy into the electrical grid. And this is happening with jobs all over the state of Washington. I was in the Palouse in Whitman County yesterday, and I saw companies SEL down in Pullman helping integrate the use of energy efficiency into large users. I saw two researchers from Washington State University. They're developing a new lithium-ion battery application that could blow people's socks off if we can scale it up. I went to the Palouse Wind Farm, 1.8-megawatt wind turbines facing southwest. The most energy efficiency wind turbines in the world are now in the Palouse. And this is all these things going on within 25 miles of each other in the southeast corner of Washington State. This isn't something just under the shadow of the Space Needle. So this fund's going to support research and development of new energy storage and solar technologies at our public research institutions as well. In addition, I'm pleased to report that we've succeeded in extending our sales tax incentives for producing renewable energy to support wind, solar, and other renewable sources. And we've extended our tax incentives for solar manufacturing. We've enacted policy improvements for businesses that produce energy from geothermal sources and from organic waste. And these measures underscore our commitment to clean energy future. We're going to fund the creation of a Clean Energy Institute at the University of Washington. And this center is going to focus on research and development into technologies that advance storage of electricity and solar power. One of the first bills I signed, my first executive request bill that I signed, sets up a legislative work group that will recommend a state action plan to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions to our target levels. And I'm chairing this bipartisan effort to determine how our state is going to tackle carbon pollution. Now, the reason I mention these things to you is that you have been great leaders in the Northwest. And I want you to know you've got a partner in the state of Washington. And we're going to be asking you to step up to the plate again, as you have in the past. And I want you to know you're not going to be alone. You're going to have the state of Washington with you. We're going to support your bold action and your necessarily aggressive vision. And we're going to be there as a team, because that's how we're going to tackle this problem. And I want to thank you for being here in Seattle to talk about that. So we're going to meet and beat our statutory greenhouse gas emission limits. And we're going to do it in a manner that sustains and strengthens our economy. So how do we get there? Well, first, we've got to squarely face the true costs of carbon pollution and implement a comprehensive program to reduce emissions across all sectors through regulatory and market means. This should be done at national and international scales, of course. But we know we need to lead in our states, in our regions, first. We have led the world for many decades, in many challenges, in many technologies. This is another step in the progress of the Pacific Northwest. And I'm going to work closely with climate, legislative, and executive work groups to ensure we do our part in my state. And while we work on an economy-wide solution, we also need to take big steps in individual sectors, especially those that have a larger impact on emissions. In the transportation sector, we need to advance cleaner, low-carbon fuels, more efficient cars. We know electricity can't effectively power our passenger and lightweight vehicles. We're fortunate to have very affordable and reliable clean electricity to put in those cars. Our investment in the electric vehicle charging network is timely. In 2012, the Nissan dealer in Bellevue, Washington, sold more electric cars than any other dealer in the United States. For heavier vehicles, natural gas is likely bridge fuel to reduce carbon pollution. Compressed natural gas is being deployed for mid-sized vehicles that return on a daily basis for fueling. And liquid natural gas is a ready and promising technology for larger trucks. We've got also to improve our overall transportation system by focusing our investments on efficiency, moving goods and people for the lowest energy and the lowest emissions. This will require improving and applying a new toolkit, including least cost planning, transit-oriented land use, freight corridors, variable system controls, and pay-as-you-drive insurance and road financing. Now, I want to note again, these efforts are not confined to the urban areas. Yesterday, I was at a new grain facility in McCoy, Washington, about 25 miles northwest of Pullman. They have put a new grain loading and unloading facility, and the reason they've been able to do it is we've made an investment in a short line rail line to get that to the ports on the river. But we're using a rail line which uses 75% less carbon pollution than we do it by trucks. And my state has made a smart investment which is creating jobs right there in McCoy with product, the facility was actually manufactured in Spokane, by making a smart investment in a low-carbon-emitting technology, which are trains, freight trains. In the construction sector, we need to build and rebuild better buildings. You know that better than anyone. New buildings should be as energy-neutral as possible, with advanced envelopes, efficient appliances, on-site generation, and smart controls. For existing buildings, we need to create a system where energy efficiency retrofits is the norm, not the exception, with point-of-sale information, possibly. On bill, mortgage, and other financing, and a sector of business focused on those that work. We need our industries to continue to lead in energy efficiency and set the bar for the next international standard. Most importantly, we need to build public, corporate, and citizen demand for energy cost savings as a core value of our culture. Then we have the electricity sector. We have one of the cleanest in the world. And we're proud of that. It means it's going to be easier for us to take the final step. But the fact that we have the cleanest in the world does not eliminate the need to take the final step. And that is by decarbonizing our power system. And I think we should start by replacing coal power with renewable and less carbon-intensive polluting sources of energy. While only 14% of Washington power comes from coal, it contributes about 80% of our greenhouse gases from all of the electricity we consume. In my state, we know where that carbon pollution is coming from, and it's time to do something about it. About half of the coal power comes from one location, and about half of the coal units at that location are owned by three utilities that do business in Washington. And I want to note those utilities themselves have been really effective leaders in the development of efficiency and wind power. We're a Vista, yesterday was the purchaser of the wind power from the Palouse wind farm that I was at. But we've got more to do. When the river levels drop, I'd rather we import wind or solar power produced anywhere in the West than to import coal power from anywhere else. With the President's plan to move forward on limiting carbon emissions from existing power plants, it's time to reassess the long-term viability of Northwest coal plants. Yesterday, when I was at this most efficient wind turbine platform, I was really admiring the incredible beauty. This is up on a little hill facing the southwest, and you look over the wheat fields and the pea fields, the blue. I mean, this has got to be one of the favored places on the planet. And I'm convinced the people in my state want to keep it that way. They think taking some steps forward makes sense to keep this the evergreen state. And so we're going to tackle climate change. And we're going to protect our state for future generations. And yes, we also care about the cost of electricity. But prior work by this council suggests that the rate impacts of moving away from coal are very affordable. I believe this relatively small investment is needed and that the costs are not a meaningful obstacle. We just need the will. And my state's going to provide the will, and I'm looking forward to you providing a vision statement so we can bring that will to pass. So that's where the council is well positioned to lead. You have the mandate, the expertise, and the resources to help figure this out. Your sixth power plan took a good look at climate change and set a high bar for clean energy. I believe your seventh power plan needs to go even further. I ask that the seventh power plan fully address how the Northwest will reduce the carbon pollution from our electricity further, faster, in the most effective and efficient way possible. The plan should facilitate and accelerate the transition from coal power and identify the steepest reasonable glide path for making this final transition. It should specify how we will better manage the power hole during low water years and the overgeneration during high water years. As a 20-year plan, it should lay out a clear and date certain path to an electrical system that is 100% carbon-free and renewable through preserving and enhancing our hydropower base, accelerating energy efficiency, and deploying all renewable sources effectively and in an integrated manner across the region and the West. And as a start, we'll look forward to a date certain for completion of Washington State being coal-free in electricity. And that would be a great start. Now, I know you've all been dedicating your professional lives to this, and we really appreciate that. And we know this is a big step. It's the kind of step that people get to celebrate for decades to come. And when you succeed in this task, it's something, it's going to be a great legacy for you individually. And I hope you'll work with all of us to be able to have something to celebrate in that regard. It will be a historic achievement, not just for our state or our nation, but internationally, when our state, through to your vision, is able to achieve this end. So let's go do some great things together. And I'm going to look for your suggestions how to get this done. Now, I think I have about 4 minutes for easy questions or gentle criticisms before do I go to a good friend's service. So how could I help or any suggestions I should have today?
Let me just commend your comments. I think it's we've really made significant, like you commented, we made significant progress in terms of really moving past coal, both in the state of Oregon and the state of Washington, in terms of closing the older plants and the like. That's, I think, gives us a good foundation that you really were talking about. Are there other comments or questions that people want to raise? Member Carrier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Governor. As usual, I've got pages of notes again. I think you've given us a great challenge to look at. And I think the partnership between the council and the states and what they're doing is something that really needs to be energized and reinforced. And I think one of those is working with the Clean Energy Fund, because one important gap in planning is how to factor in the demand response and the smart grid, because that's going to be a key to making all the intermittent energy from renewables affordable and cost-effective. And I was wondering, is that something that will be addressed through the Clean Energy Fund as well, to develop the electronics industry to help with that that's so strong?
You bet. And this is one of the things that we think we're in a very, very sweet spot in the state of Washington to lead in these technologies, because the interface between software and hardware and the grid, we're perfectly set up to do that. As I mentioned, we have several companies doing that already. SEL down in Pullman's doing great work like that. Itron in Spokane has some great work on that. I know several years ago, even before the Leaf came out, I met a fellow, an ex-Microsoft person who has a company that's developing the interface between your car battery and a utility, so that your utility can start to rent your car battery, so we can put some of that excess wind power right into your car battery in your garage at night and feed it back when we wake up and turn on the toasters. So we have people working on that today right here in Seattle on that type of technology. And this is, again, these are more software engineers than mechanical engineers, but they're great jobs. So yes, we think that this is a perfect thing for the state of Washington, and this fund, we hope it's going to find the right people to do that. And I got to tell you, one of the great things about being governor of the state of Washington is I just meet people who are just, chomping at the bit. If we give them little seed money and you give them the right policy, they're going to do great things. I mentioned yesterday I went to an innovation zone. They have an innovation zone in Pullman. And I met two researchers from Washington State University. And they're developing this new, it's based on tin and it uses lithium ions. And they showed me the productivity of their prototype. It's just unbelievable. It has like twice the capacity and 10 times the number of cycles you can run it through without being depleted. I mean, this could be a world-changing technology. Now, obviously, you got to figure out if you can scale it up. But I'm a Husky, and I love admiring innovative cougars. And to see that type of work going on, it really excites me.
Good. Thanks.
Thanks very much. Thanks for your vision.
Thank
Take care.
Thank you so much for your...
Okay. Please.
Mr. Chairman.
Member Anders.
That was an invigorating speech to me, and I didn't have the opportunity to tell the governor this directly, but I'll say it to the council here for me, simply because I understand he's a former prosecutor. I'm a former prosecutor, so it's nice to know that he speaks the energy language like it's part of his nature, so hopefully I'll get there someday, too.
Right. I have no doubt that you will get there.
Thank you.
You're already very close, so. It was very, really inspirational comments from the governor, so thank you for arranging or convincing him or whatever the case might be to come and talk with us. It's really great. Oh, yeah, business. Well, I think we should probably take a break. That'd probably be a good thing to do. We'll take a break for 15 minutes, and we'll be back at 3:05.